Come on, Norster Kenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Oh, wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord!
Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
A little wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
We can make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 137 of Three in the Box, the Underground Wild Podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, September 26th, 2017. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about preseason, wrapping up, and the Bible. In the studio with me, as always, is Mr. Kenny.
Hi, guys. It's good to be back in our new digs.
In our new digs. It's a little echoey right now, but we'll get things figured out, dialed in.
The echo chamber.
And we apologize for no video
this
episode. So this is audio only. This is us trying to get back into our regular season form.
But there's someone else here that you may have heard, and that's Mr. Jive Midnight.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey.
And you're missing his fancy CCM hockey hat.
Yeah, it's glorious.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no video tonight, huh?
No.
And his Pinburg t-shirt, you know, from when we went to play pinball.
And you guys are really missing out on Aaron and Kenny here. They've got their fabulous black
black t-shirts.
Hey, you know, winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
I don't know. We haven't done a show in a while because, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot of news.
We've had some big projects going on.
We have.
Studio's moved to a new location.
Yep. I have moved, and with it cometh the studio.
The studio's here.
Yeah. We are now in,
Shoreview.
Yeah. Right. We're out in the sticks.
Off a lake. Across from McDonough.
Yeah, looking at Ryan McDonough's house.
We're moving on up, kids.
We're trying to figure out the best way to troll McDonough.
Well, trolling on a lake, is that like a dumb
fun? Boo. But it's been we've been doing a little moving and shaking, and
it's kind of last-minute stuff, and we've got a few things we have to iron out. So hopefully come regular season, we got video.
Yeah, video is not quite there because we've got a rack-mounted computer that has got a lock on it with a key.
And we don't know where the key
is. We don't know where the key is.
I love how animated you are about that, even though nobody's watching.
I'm sorry. I talk with my hands. I don't... Don't give me crap here.
Hey... If we weren't giving each other crap, would this be the same show?
Probably.
Not.
just without the crap.
What fun would that be?
Oh, I thought you had a good sample there, Jive.
he's chomping at the bit.
He's like, I don't know what to play here.
Yeah.
Way to go, Jared Boy.
Why not? Yeah.
It works.
So it's been a while. We'll be kicking into, I think, our first real preseason show will be next week.
With video.
And then we'll kick into regular season every Monday, just like clockwork, you know.
We're back. So anybody do anything fun over the summer?
Well, I got a new house, and that was fun. And I've kayaked a whole bunch that I didn't think I would ever do.
Aaron got into water sports.
I did. Love golden showers. So great.
Nights. It's so, golden
so,
nights.
Yeah, so golden, now, oh, it's now golden nights. Now he's a fan.
Oh, that's what it is. I'm sorry. I totally missed the ball on that one.
So did they, apparently.
Or they balled on me.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, lots of travel. We all attended Pinburg, I know.
Yes, we did. We got to play a lot of pinball. A lot of pinball out in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm just now getting my eyesight back from watching the eclipse. So.
Wait, so are you at like 2060 now?
Something like that. I don't know. They told me something about putting the sunscreen on my eyes was a bad idea. I don't know.
what SPF did you use? It was only 15, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh, God, you dumb bastard.
Oh, you got to use a higher one?
Yeah, you got to use at least 60 on your eyeballs.
That's what it is. No, but the eclipse was... I think
that you're in the belt for that, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, right there where the total eclipse was. We were down in Jefferson City is where.
See, every
where
time we somebody says that, all I think of is total eclipse of the heart.
Total eclipse of the heart. But I'm telling you what,
hardcore.
Man,
hardcore. That is the most, Kenny. Your black shirt belies your sensitive side.
You know, I mean, people, you know, say, well, you know, it's kind of not a big deal, but. I mean, if you're on the outskirts of it, looking at it, yeah. But when you get that total eclipse, it's the totality. It's something like it is something moving over. Like it's.
Did you tear up?
I didn't tear up.
Well, you can't see, so he doesn't know.
I was in amazement, you know, and even my kids that you know, I don't think they fully get it really, but I think that they. It's something that they're not going to forget about in their lifetime.
Right.
I remember when I was in high school and there was like even a partial eclipse. Yeah. I remember going out during the day and, you know, putting the
Remember that. Yeah. I think I was probably sixth or seventh grade.
I don't think there was
a big eclipse.
I mean, happening. It was probably still better than it was in Minnesota because in Minnesota you couldn't see crap. So
this year?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was trying to like do a time lapse with 360 of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's getting dark. Eclipse must be coming. No, that was
just
the
clouds.
Yeah. With the rain and the thunderstorms.
Wah wah.
Yeah.
We kinda got hosed on it here.
Yeah.
We have another one coming in what, 2020?
2024, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. So just 7 years away.
And that one's more north to south, if I remember correctly, so
we'll get a little bit better show. Hopefully, no clouds.
Nah, because I think it's like northeast to down to.
No, I think we still get a chance like at it, though.
Oh, we'll still see some of it, just not the full thing.
Right.
I can guarantee that I'll be traveling to it again the next time to go see it. Nice. I think it's something to see.
Are you eclipse head now?
I wouldn't call myself an eclipse head, but I mean,
is it clipse head or eclipse head?
I said clipse head. Because it just seems to touch a little bit better.
Kind of like the early 2000s hip-hop group Clips.
Exactly.
Funded by backed by the Neptunes. Sorry. That's dated reference. I know that right now. Okay. So we're talking here. I think we ought to talk some hockey.
Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Well, so, yeah, welcome back. Here we are. We're looking at the preseason here, and we've had a couple of home-and-home contests between the Wild and the Jets, and then the Wild and the Avalanche. So, you know, the Wild did beat the Jets, you know, in Winnipeg and at home.
Yep.
They went to the shootout in Winnipeg, you know, winning 3-2 there. And then... here, you know, in front of goaltender Alex Stalock, they managed to
shut out the
Jets. So 1-0 here.
Kemper who?
Yeah, exactly. So
Kemper San Jose?
L.A.
L.A.
Yeah.
Kemper who?
Is there milk down there?
Well, they got cows in California.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Don't you remember all those commercials with the cows talking?
No, I thought it was just raisins. California raisins, right?
I don't know. They kind of disappeared, so.
Heard it through the grapevine.
CCR.
No, California raisins, dude.
Dude, that's
CCR. Get your music history straight.
All right. But yeah, then the Wild did manage to beat the Avalanche here, but... assumed to get kind of blown out down there in Colorado. Kind of embarrassing. I know we got, you know, our B-level players out on the ice and everything, but
total B-squad.
Yeah. So, but I mean, you know, what would a three-in-the-box podcast or episode be without a little bit of a goalie controversy, right? So we saw Dubnyk one night. Obviously he came out. He played the first game against the Avalanche, correct? So
yeah.
But you know, he's got a solid spot in there. But from what I understand, there's, you know, it's kind of up in the air who's going to be his backup and you know, playing down.
They said it's an open competition at this point, right? Yep.
So we've got Stalock. He managed to shut out the Jets. We've got Michalek, however you want to
call it.
I think it's Michalek, right?
Okay.
I don't know.
He's had his ups and downs. And then you've also got Svedberg. So
who is backing up Stalock in his shutout?
Right.
So because that was the one thought was, is Svedberg going to come in relief? And obviously that never happened.
Right. They just left him. Gave him the whole game.
Give Stalock a shutout.
Yeah. Right.
So you've got those three back there that are obviously kind of battling. Do you think that, like with that shutout here in the preseason, do you think that Stalock kind of maybe locked up his spot?
Well, you know, I think Stalock, because of his size, he gets a bad rap. I mean, because he's only 6 foot tall. That's it.
Yeah, I'd like to be 6 feet tall, but okay.
I wish I was a little bit taller.
I wish I was a baller. I had a rabbit and a hat.
With a bat. And 6'4" Impala. Okay. But Stalock, you know, I think he gets a bad rap. No pun intended.
No, we had a bad rap.
But I thought he did well, when he was with the Sharks, right? He was with the Sharks previously.
Yeah.
He played well with them.
Yeah.
I think there's this rush to the tallest goalie is going to be the best goalie. Mm-hmm. And baseball does the same thing with pitchers where it's like, oh, because they're tall, they're going to be good.
They're all going to be like Randy Johnson and throw, you know.
Right.
Hit a bird.
Yeah.
And kill a bird.
Kill a bird.
Like I could just kill a bird.
It was a bad musical reference yes, tonight it here. Is.
It's preseason for everyone.
Okay. But I think Stalock, you know, I think he's proven himself at the NHL level. At least, I mean, at the very least, as a backup. I mean, do I want him starting 40 games this year? Probably not.
No.
25?
But if he's starting 25, I'm not going to be sweating it. I think he's a capable player. And that's not a slam on Svedberg or Michalek. I don't know them enough to make that, you know, statement. Whereas I've seen Stalock. The Wild have played Stalock.
Mm-hmm.
And Stalock played well. I don't know why I would expect any less from a guy who's had that experience.
He's been there.
He's been there. Yep. This is not a surprise for him.
Right.
Yes, he's not your prototypical giant goalie that people want today.
Therefore, he doesn't have a starting spot on any team.
Right. But I think that's a bummer. I mean, it's you know, look at someone like Panger, you know. He's a midget, basically, and you know he was a capable goaltender.
Yeah,
you can compensate for not having long limbs by the way you play.
Oh, being that's agile, what
she said.
You know,
yeah.
And I think it's discounted today.
I can agree with that. I think, I mean, obviously.
Did we see anything from Michalek or Svedberg in preseason?
Not yet.
They didn't play the first game?
I don't think they have played yet.
No, they've played.
They have?
Yeah. Because Michalek, he's the one who gave up all the goals in Colorado.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't know. It wasn't on TV, so. Yeah,
right. That was his rough start.
My one thing with Stalock is that, I mean, you know, he was playing against not a full NHL line at the time, you know, so he got a shutout against potentially still some tryouts and still some AHL players. And I mean, you know, I would like to say I think he could be the backup for Dubnyk and be solid and start 25, maybe 30 games out of the season out of necessity or to rest Dubnyk. But without seeing him regular season, but without seeing Mikulek or Svedberg either, I can't put a judgment on that. And I would be apt to say, let's give Stalock the shot right now as far as the backup and get him some games.
How often did we actually see Kemper last year? I mean,
right.
Not much.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's because, I mean, probably, but there wasn't maybe as much trust in Kemper. But, I mean, Dubnyk held his own, and, I mean, he kept the ball rolling a lot of the time, so... he's definitely shown that he's a Iron Man candidate in the amount of games he can play. Do we want to put
that on him, though, and then expect the same thing come playoffs?
Right. Well, I would rather have a better rested goalie come playoffs.
You have to take in consideration that Svedberg is not a spring chicken. He's 20, for a goalie even. Yeah. He's 28 and with zero NHL experience.
Yeah.
And I don't think... That shouldn't be a condemning factor, but he's a little bit long in the tooth for a prospect.
True. That's older than what Backstrom was, what, 25, 26 when he got called up?
He was older. Older compared to a normal prospect.
He was one of the older rookies.
Mikulek is a bit younger, though, and so but McCulloch's also had a few years at Iowa, so. He's 24 right now, so he's got a little bit of development. You know, he could sit there for a year or two, and we're all sitting all right.
Yeah,
it's not like he's been blowing away Iowa at this point.
Nope.
Sure.
So I think there's a little flexibility. I think Stalock. If you'd ask me right now, I think Stalock's our number one backup, and we'll let the cards fall where they may. You know.
I agree.
So has there been anybody else that's kind of stood out maybe for you guys so far here in the preseason on the Wild?
Number 6 keeps messing with me, and number 26 I keep thinking still says Vanek.
Winnick Vanek, and then Murphy number 6.
And Murphy was the reason for the one goal against Dubnyk, if I remember
correctly. Although he's been involved in a lot of plays, though.
Has he?
I feel like he's been involved in a general sense. Whether that's good or not, I don't know. I'm not going to say it's bad or good.
Well, if you're around the puck, you know, that's... As long as you're in position, it's a good thing.
Well, if you're around the puck and it causes a goal against, that's not a good thing to be known for.
Goals will happen, though.
Yeah.
I would say... I know we've talked about it, but I think Granny... Yeah, he's been pretty around there.
Dumba
has. I mean, both of them scored in the first game versus Colorado.
I would expect that we're looking for, you know, big years from both of those guys. They're coming into that, like, basically the
neither of them were exposed in the expansion draft, so
right.
That means that's a vote of confidence from management.
Dumba, I think, was actually kind of protected with the expansion draft,
but the way it was structured,
yeah,
you know. As far as others standing out, you know, I don't know if anyone's really jumping out at me.
Mm-hmm.
As far as personal play,
okay.
I think Olofsson. I think he. If I'm going to pick out one player, Olofsson has been a little more, considering his size. He's not like a big player, but he's been playing a little more physical.
Yeah.
And I would say that would be the one player that's stood out a little bit for me was Olofsson.
Okay.
All right. Anything on your end?
Don't know that I see anybody jumping out at me. I'm still waiting to see, you know, kind of how things shake out with some of the moves that have been made that we'll talk about here in a little bit.
Sure.
But And nobody is, jumping out at me at the moment that they're going to be like, some sort of a godsend for our season and bring us all the way.
Right on.
So, all right, shall we move on to
the wild card.
Here we go.
So, I don't know if our listeners are aware, the Finnish president was in town this past week.
Yeah.
He was in town, I think he was celebrating their defeat over Russia from World War One.
It was FinFest.
It was FinFest.
That's what it was. It was FinFest he was in town for. It came up on my, I don't remember how it came up, but it came up on my Google News or whatever. And it was like, Finnish president. I was like, maybe I want to go see the Finnish president. And like all the events for FinFest, as a quarter Finn here, I was like, maybe I want to go to FinFest. And it was like, there was no black metal there. There was no hockey there.
Is there hot dish?
That's not a Finnish thing. I was disappointed. Yeah. I was disappointed.
If it's finished, it's going to probably be cold anyway.
Yeah. There is no black metal. There's no black metal. There is no saunas.
Saunas.
That's how they say it. Saunas. Come on. Get with it, guys.
Is that like the dude who does the cooking thing where it's like sauce? Some Jack Daniel's sauce?
Oh, I like sauce.
Sauce? Mm. You like the Jack Daniel's sauce?
Ah! What the heck is that show? I don't even remember now.
No, neither do I.
Where they make all the worst food.
From, fast food restaurants. Yeah. Anyways.
But I was disappointed with FinFest. And I was like, and it was expensive, too. And I was like, I'm not paying that. I'm way too cheap, and I'm not that Finnish.
So, yeah, the Finnish president, I'm going to butcher his name, Sauli Niinistö?
Didn't you learn anything? Sauli.
Sauli.
Come on, dude.
Niinistö.
There's two I's in there. Niinistö.
And there's the Ugamon above the...
Oh. Ugamon? What was that? Ugamon? Ugamon.
Oh, no, Kenny's creating his own language here.
Ugamon.
Ugamon language.
So anyways, he is in town. Miko and Granny got to have a luncheon with him. Apparently, Miko's family, Saku, his brother, and his dad have met, and I guess his family's kind of been friends with the president for a while. So they were in town. The Finnish president ended up dropping the ceremonial first puck at Thursday night's game. The first was the first preseason, first home game of this season, correct?
See, the problem, okay, I'm just going to be upfront here. The fact that they don't televise every preseason game, I lose track of what game it is. Right. I don't know how people can keep track, because it's really freaking irritating if I can't watch the game. It's like I need that visual connection, and I'm just really irritated by that.
So, anyways, he
sorry. Sorry for my little rant.
You're all good. So he dropped the first puck on Thursday's preseason game. And just a little fun fact that Minnesota represents the largest population of Finn-Americans at around 100,000
people. Is that what it's called? Finn-Americans?
Finnish-Americans?
Yes.
Finkins?
Americans.
Finnekins?
Finnekins?
Americans, I finish you.
So, anyways.
Boo earns. Boo earns right there, brother.
That happened this past week.
All right.
But
we're all going to be finished once guy across the pond is done with us, right?
Old Greg?
Old Greg.
I'm Old Greg.
Old Greg. You drinking Bailey's from a boot?
No, the Rocket Man.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah.
Billy Joel?
Yeah. That'd be Elton John, actually. Yeah,
he is across the pond.
Yes.
So, yeah, anyway, just little.
So, speaking of people not across the pond.
Parisi.
Parisi.
And his back. He's not back. He's kind of back.
Oh, he's back.
He's back.
Parisi's got no back.
Who knows at this point?
Parisi's got no back.
He did skate at practice on a line with Kunin and Berchi. He's hoping to be ready for October 5th, which is the first regular season game in Detroit.
In their brand new stadium.
In their brand new stadium, yes. Yeah.
Derp toilet.
Look, so, Flint can't have clean water, but we got a new stadium.
That ice is going to melt right away because the water is not safe.
I hope they're not pulling between it from their ponds there.
Between the lead and the water and the lights, it's like just going to melt right away. Is that how it works?
The Little Caesars logo at center ice is going to grow three eyes.
So, this is not the first time that Parisi's had back issues. I mean, how worried should we be? Is this like a Joe Mauer type situation?
Is it a Kia situation? My neck, my back?
Well,
enough with the rap.
That's a rap.
That's a rap. On the rap.
The thing about back problems is like, once you have done something to your back, you can't go back.
Yeah, it just comes back.
Yeah. It does. I mean, it does. And that's the bad part of it is you basically just move your back the wrong way, you know, that one time and you retweak your injury.
You get to a certain age and it's like
my back.
Weird things will happen and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's okay. My back is now my back is not my friend anymore.
Right.
So I probably shouldn't be even saying this, but whatever. My old house.
Okay.
I was rearranging stuff in the cupboards. I was on a ladder. And I kid you not, I was moving little, you know those little spice bottles,
mm-hmm.
like tiny little spice bottles, like I don't know, it's maybe half an ounce. I mean, they're super tiny.
Yeah.
Are we gonna have to knock some teeth out for people to think that you're a man after this?
maybe. But as I'm rearranging these from like cupboard to cupboard, I'm moving. I'm not lifting a heavy weight. I'm just twisting side to side.
But that's exactly it.
Seriously, and that's all it was. It was like, ooh. I'm not holding anything heavy. It's a tiny little spice bottle, and my back is done.
Yep.
I've had two shows in a row where guys are like, yeah, just lift that with your back in a fast jerking motion. you know, you got to work out your back somehow, right?
Yeah. Might as well.
Say, do we have to be worried about this with Parisi right now?
Yes. Lift with your back and put sunscreen on your eyes. No, I think that, yeah, I mean, it's definitely to be of concern because, I mean, like we've just been talking about here, that can strike at any time. He might go the whole season. He might go half of the season and then tweak something.
Oh, yeah.
Could be right before playoffs and he tweaks something. You never know. But I definitely think that when he is going, you know, 100% and is you know, at 100%, that we definitely need him on the ice. I mean, he's the kind of competitor that he is when he is healthy. I mean, you can't match.
So. And I think you'll agree. Once your back is messed up, all it takes is something else to happen down the road.
Right.
That's where you got to work it out. Just fast jerking motions all the time.
You don't go back to healthy back. Your back is always in a state of flux after it's been damaged severely enough one time. At least that's my experience. I can't imagine anyone else. It's like,
God forbid you move that, like, spice jar again.
I know, no doubt. But it's like, if you hurt an elbow, oh, the elbow will heal and things are okay again. Shoulder, okay, yeah. You know, back, no, you're done.
Yeah.
That back thing will linger forever.
For a lifetime, yeah.
You know?
Okay. So that's Parisi's back is back. So Leopold is quoted as saying, this is from Russo with The Athletic now. Anything short of winning the Stanley Cup right now would be a disappointment. I think probably 30 other owners would say the same thing, but I think we have the team that can do it. Right now, that's our goal. That's our objective. And if anybody on the bench doesn't feel the same way, they're probably on the wrong bench. He's obviously committed and willing to spend the money because they're at the cap every year.
Is this his quote?
That was his quote.
Okay.
So they're obviously, you know, he's willing to spend the money. He's willing to pay for the players. We have players willing to come here for that money. Obviously, we've seen that in years past with the Parisi and Suter signing. Is he going to be the owner to bring us to and give us the promised land? And if it doesn't happen, what are the chances we possibly see a new GM? Because he does let Fletcher have quite a bit of leeway in play.
Well, traditionally, the owners aren't... Teams aren't firing their owners. No. So he's the owner we've got, whether we like it or not.
And every owner wants a championship.
Right. You're not going to have an owner that's like, you know, I really just want to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I want to make a lot of money. I really don't care about championships.
I just want to come watch some hockey.
I want to watch some hockey and make some money. That's all I really want to do.
Well, I mean...
The championships, I don't care about. You're not going to hear any owner saying that. So with that in mind, new GM, you know, whether Chuck Fletcher sticks around, you know, I think any GM... You know, that has not gotten past the second round is going to have a limited life. And yeah. I don't think Chuck Fletcher's any different there.
Yeah. And I definitely think that, you know, there's always a chance that you can be let go as a GM or a head coach. I mean, we've seen plenty of that around. But honestly, I think that, you know, Fletcher, as he is right now, is definitely in the good graces, at least, of you know, Leopold. And I don't know that he's feeling any, you know, that his job is in danger. But, you know, that said, with a statement like that coming out of Leopold, you know, maybe that is the call saying, look, this is happening now.
All right. The last thing that I kind of want to bring up is Russo kind of left us hanging for a minute. You know, I would put him up on a pedestal and put him as the god of hockey reporting. He had us on edge when he was saying he was leaving the Strib. Fortunately for us, he's still covering the Wild in a different capacity with a new type of media outlet, The Athletic.
Yeah.
Were either of you as worried as me about the potential of, you know, potentially having lesser reporting of the Wild? And I mean, what are your opinions of him going to a full on like kind of paid service?
Well, I mean, Russo, I mean, he's a great, you know, reporter, beat writer for the, you know, for the Wild, and he's definitely built up, obviously, some, you know, pretty good relationships with the team. That is he irreplaceable? I think that the Star and Tribune will, you know, that they'll find the next man up. I mean, it's a professional outfit, just like sure. The Minnesota Wild are, just like the other sports teams, or even you and your job. We're all really expendable. In the end,
we're all just cogs yep. in this machine.
That's right. And but that said, I mean, I appreciate his writing and the way that he gets in and digs for answers. And he's probably actually doing himself more of a service, moving to something that's more of that paid, you know, subscription basis. There, I'm gonna guess that he's maybe even got a little bit more. Freedom.
I think there freedom might be a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Is there still free access to this? Is it similar to Star Trip? Star Trip, where you get like 5 free articles a month.
I'm not exactly sure how that works. I know they were running, and I think it expired a week ago, like a heavily discounted subscription to it. And I know I personally signed up to it, and I mean, he's pumping out articles daily. Yeah. And there's one other guy who's more of a stats guy who's doing stuff for the Wild as well on it. So you get Russo's insight as well as you get some nice stats coming along with it on a almost information overload basis.
Yeah. And that's part of my thing is you've got us hollering at you over your podcasting thing for listening to us. You've got articles coming in from the Tribune, now from the Athletic. You've got other bloggers out there.
Blount at Star Trib, blogging all the time.
Right.
You got a little bit coming from the Pioneer Press.
Pioneer Press, yeah. So, right. I mean, there's definitely...
You got Derek Felska at Crease and Assist.
Yes, you do.
Yes, and I mean, in his articles... they're definitely lengthy, but he always has great insights to.
But that kind of underlines the point of are we at the point where Russo's articles are actually worth paying for? I don't even know at this point, to be honest.
There's plenty of other stuff.
It's been commoditized, no different than a lot of things in the new media era that we're in.
Yeah.
And I think expecting someone to pay X amount per month just to consume his articles, I don't know if that's a reality that's going to be beneficial over the long run.
The thing is, you're not just paying for the articles, you're also paying... I mean, he's got some pretty solid inside access to some of the players, and he's got a repertoire with these players that you can't get from every reporter.
Sure. Now.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, is it worth it that...
I think it's easy to discount, though, that the access that has been provided to him by the Star Tribune
is what built him.
Yeah. I mean, and in his career as a traditional journalist, who's to say that you don't have a Derek Felska that gets that same press credential down the road and has that same access and is asking the same sort of questions. Sure. I think that discounts anyone that would follow in his footsteps. And I think that's, giving too much credit to him for just being around.
Yeah.
You know?
He did have pretty fast Twitter hands, though.
He did. But he also didn't have the delay of, TV over IP and satellite television, so.
This is true.
To the moon and back.
Exactly.
All right, boys.
All right, so let's talk about some moves that we've got on here. So, the biggest and oldest move, aside from Russo, because I'm pretty sure Russo's older, is Matt Cullen. He's 40. He's now a Wild once again, stealing the number 7 of Mr. Stewart. As we
went to number
10?
10.
I think 10?
Yeah, I think it was 10.
Yeah. Cullen signs a one-year $1.7 million contract. You know, he's averaged about 30 points per season over the last 3 years, just shy of that. I think 88 points over the last 3 years, so about 30. We'll give him the extra point there, 29 points, we'll say. And he's basically been doing fourth line minutes, you know, depending on the team. He's fourth, third line kind of minutes.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll be playing fourth line minutes? That's my first question. And does his cost justify the 30 points he might be putting up over the course of our season here?
Well, I'm going back to the baseball reference, I kind of see it like as Paul Molitor when he signed with the Twins for his last, year, two seasons of baseball. He wanted to retire in his hometown.
Yeah, how many World Series did the Twins win that year?
Zero.
How many World Series did the Twins win with Dave Winfield?
Zero.
How many were how many Stanley Cups has Matt Cullen won?
Not with the Wild.
Not with the Wild, but how many has he won?
Is it two or three?
Dave Winfield had won World Series championships before coming to the Twins.
All right.
That didn't help us at all.
So basically,
past success has no indicator of future success.
Unless if a personality helps the team.
So
he didn't help us before, though.
So
Cullen?
Yeah. Do we win a cup under Cullen?
No.
On Minnesota's
not everybody can win a cup every year.
Oh, apparently Cullen can, though.
I didn't say that.
The miraculous spud over here.
I didn't say that. But I'm answering your question that, yes.
Jesus potato.
I think he will get fourth line minutes. He's been brought here probably more for his
hometown appeal.
Being that he's a hometown person and that he's probably got, he's going to be that guy in the veteran in the locker room that's been there, that's done that. When you get down the wire, down the season, into that first round, hopefully into the second round, and you're trying to push on, that's that veteran who's been there and done that and is going to be able to help out, the younger guys.
Well, so. I mean, that's fine and dandy, but as Aaron had pointed out, Minnesota sports dictates that, because you come back to finish off your season finish off your career doesn't necessarily mean good. And so is the Minnesota curse going to outweigh Leopold's saying of we're winning a cup this year?
I mean, the last time a Minnesota Big Four sports team has won a championship.
1991.
Jack Morris came home. So I'm not going to poo-poo that it can't be done.
Jack Morris, Minnesota?
St. Paul, bred and born.
Was he?
Yeah.
I guess I was not aware of that.
Yeah, so I'm not saying it can't be done. However, it wasn't like it was Jack Morris' second stint with the Twins.
Right.
We've already tried this, and Cullen's a lot older, and not... Cullen is not going to be our Game 7 guy.
No.
If we're thinking he's going to be the guy that makes it or breaks it for us, we got problems.
And makes it or breaks it. See, I think you're thinking two different ways here. We're talking about a veteran on a team that maybe, not on the ice, but off of the ice, is there in support of the team and is going to be able to, help the team along and those playoff situations that he's obviously had some experience in.
Oh, sure. I don't discount the fact that he's been on good teams. I don't think that is actually a big change, though. That's not. I guess I don't see that as. I don't think that's what puts the Wild over.
There's many pieces to the puzzle.
Right.
It's a team sport. If it was one man, I mean, you'd expect him to cost probably about $30 million.
Honestly.
Or $5.5 million a year, kind of like Koivu.
Oh.
Yeah. Who also signed an extension for 2 years, $5.5 million per year, $11 million over the 2 years. I know Koivu is a, I don't even know how to put it. He elicits a lot of different opinions depending on who you ask as far as what his quality level is. I know there's been speculation on what Koivu is worth to the Wild, including, as we've said, Derek Felska. He had there were some predictions out there on, whether or not he should be well south of what he's getting this year. I know I personally was like $3 million a year, and I'd be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously getting way more than that. So, in your opinion, I think the Wild overpaid. Do you think the Wild overpaid? We'll start with that.
I'm going to go maybe a little bit. I would have said maybe $4.5-5 million a year. So potentially like half a mil to a mil over what I think he should have been paid.
He's getting paid more than Nino each year.
I do think that he bring stuff that we don't see to the locker room as far as like a captaincy. And I think that's why he's retained his captaincy. And I think he brings some sort of leadership and something to the team other than just scoring. So
And defensively, in the defensive end, I mean, he's a solid player on that end of the ice. Is he worth the five, you know, plus million a year? I would tend to say no, but you do also have to look at how long he is. I mean, it's almost kind of a thing of you don't see it a lot anymore, but, you know, kind of where, hey, he's got our back, you got his, they've got his back, you know, a little bit of, see, I even forgot what the word is for, because companies don't do that stuff for you.
Camaraderie?
No. See, you don't even know what the word is.
Well,
it's antiquated is what it is.
No. Where you're willing to stick around with the same company and
what commitment?
But that's not the word.
Okay. Anyway, so Nino, I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but Nino also got a 5-year contract, 5 years at 5.25 per year, which is basically the same as
loyalty.
Koivu.
Sorry,
loyalty. Okay. Nino at 5.25 a year, Koivu at 5.5 a year. Does that make sense to you guys? I mean, obviously Nino got signed for 5 years, so it's a little longer, but does that make sense to you?
Well, Nino's contract was also broken up and it's different pay rate per year, correct?
No.
Is he a straight 5.25 per
According
year?
To Cap Friendly, it is straight.
Okay.
And Nino, I mean, so he's had probably, last season was a great season.
Yeah.
The season before, I mean, he was okay. How much has he proven himself, though, actually, that he can, on a consistent basis, you know, be that man?
But if you wanted to say him and Koivu are basically the same player...
No, I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't.
They're two different types of players.
I don't know if I'd have given him 5 years either.
So you guys are saying you'd value Koivu over Nino?
Depends what kind of shoes I'm trying to fill.
Okay, I'm asking you, what kind of shoes are you trying to fill?
Well, you're trying to fill two different shoes with two different players right now, I think is what Jive's getting at.
I don't think they're actually that different, though.
Well, the role that I'm trying to fill is going to be my leader and my solidarity back in the defensive zone.
You know what I say? I say, you know what breeds leadership? Winning. Winning doesn't need leadership. You just need to win. And...
Winning doesn't need leadership.
No, it doesn't.
You just need
because once win. If you're winning, you know what? All those little nitpicky, you know, personnel problems, those kind of go away because you're winning.
But
because no one's fighting at that point because you're like, hey, we're winning. You know what happens though is when you're losing, crap falls apart.
But Aaron, you said it right there. Is that leader though? It's easy to be a leader when you're winning. It's tough to be a leader and keep the team together when you're losing, and I think Koivu can do that.
Okay, and you're saying Parisi can't, Suter can't, Stahl can't, all of which have been captains on their respective teams before coming here.
I'm not saying that at all.
So I think we're overvaluing the leadership, especially considering there's how many Finns on this team now? Two Finns, I think, now? So it's not like he's leading some sort of European contingent, you know, and pacifying the Europeans on the team. We've positioned this team as very American at this point, or North American at the very least. I don't know. I don't.
There's a little bit of Russian, but apparently Russia's kind of coming into America right now, too. Didn't we get a Russian? No, he went back to the KHL.
Yeah, no, we have. Yeah, Kaprizov is. Yeah. So, while we're talking about Finns, though, Granny, he signs a 3-year contract at 3.75 a year.
5.75.
Yeah, sorry, 5.75. Sorry. Obviously, Grant is coming off a career year.
Mm-hmm.
Is 3 years a good call? Or are we kicking the can down the road? Or is it going to potentially bite us in the ass?
I think 3 years is a good term, and I think Nino should have got a 3-year, not a 5-year as well, to be quite honest.
Okay.
And I think Granny put up the numbers that he deserves what he's getting paid, and I think that's a solid contract.
I'm going to guess, though, that Nino probably took the longer deal for a little less a year, basically.
That could be, too. Did you see, do either of these players have no trades?
I don't believe they do.
Okay.
So there is that. Koivu, though, does have a full no movement clause.
Right. And I figured that.
And that does that not make that deal any less good, though?
No, I think Koivu wants to be franchised, and I actually appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. But okay, so just to put in perspective, so Koivu had 58 points last year.
You're still going back to the points again. It's not always all about
points. No, it isn't, because there's a defensive side too.
No,
and obviously that. But the thing is, once you get to a certain point, you're paying for points.
Well, it's just.
Or okay. To keep points off. I mean, that's...
Well, that's great if you're a defenseman, but he's not a defenseman, though.
But let's hear all the statistics on this, because everybody, I think that's where you're going for, right?
Well, my point being that once your salary gets to a certain point, especially as a forward, you're being paid for your offensive output. You're not... Two-way forwards or defense forwards, they're not being paid $5 million a year.
That's what the Selke's for.
How many Selke's does Koivu have?
Well, he got nominated this year.
Oh, he got... Okay, so he's got zero.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. There is a value.
I'm not...
And just because...
You're saying there's no value in that. I'm not saying that.
Just because there's a forward position does not mean that it's all about your offense. Everybody has to come back and play that defensive zone.
Sure.
Otherwise, there will be a ton more goals scored.
Yeah.
So, when you say that, I mean, a defensive zone presence, especially from your centerman, who is all over the ice in the defensive zone and in the offensive zone. I mean, it's not just a general position like a winger where you're hanging out on a side or a side. I mean, I think it is a very important quality, especially for a centerman.
Sure.
And as far as a solid defensive centerman who can produce some points,
I'm not saying he can't produce points. I think that points.
That's fair.
I'm not saying he can't produce points.
Yeah.
However, I don't know that he's not replaceable. Because we essentially did that by getting Eric Staal.
Well, we said earlier that everybody's replaceable.
But we got Eric Staal for less than Koivu.
Yeah.
And he's younger than Koivu without the no trade clause on top of that. So I think Koivu is genuinely replaceable.
Everyone's replaceable. We discussed this earlier.
I know. But you're agreeing with me then. Koivu is replaceable and we overpaid for him.
I agree that he could be replaced. But to like what Kenny was saying and how I was discussing it earlier, the loyalty piece, that was the word that I was looking for. The loyalty for Koivu to the Minnesota Wild team and the loyalty back from the Minnesota Wild to Koivu is... I think that's fair.
Okay.
He's put out a lot of years here. He put up with a lot of crap, you know, going through some of those, you know.
He's been through a lot of changes with his team.
Yeah.
So
the one other extension we have that I don't think we're going to have a whole lot to say about was Foligno getting a 4-year contract at 2.875 for every year. You know, are you guys comfortable with that length, considering we have never seen him play with the Wild under the system?
Not really.
I mean, I don't know that I'm getting on going on
a... I think it was kind of a compromise between money and length.
You're paying for his experience with other teams, and you're hoping that he's going to be able to
produce. And honestly, I don't think 2.875 is that huge of a contract.
It's less than Koivu.
Is this going to be our litmus test now? Is it more or less than Koivu?
Yeah, probably.
All right.
Well, until Parisi never plays, and then it'll be more or less than Parisi, so.
All right.
Twitter talk?
Let's
plow through this. Okay.
So I want to preface this.
Yeah.
We did have a lot of questions. Hopefully we wrapped up a bunch of those in our previous conversations. So if you don't hear our questions, we're not ignoring you. We did see them, and we tried to answer them previously.
First question, though, is from Jay Bushy at JBushy19. What do you think of the blue line now that Scanny has been traded? Can Riley or Olofsson contribute major minutes? I would say I've been impressed with Olofsson the first few games of the season here, or preseason. I haven't seen Riley personally, so I'm not going to speak on Riley. But I've been impressed with Olofsson. And Murphy... Like we said, Murphy's been involved.
Good
for better,
or bad.
For better or for worse, but Murphy's been involved a bit.
He's at least shown that he's got heart and he wants to be involved in play.
Right. Quincy, I think there's people there that where it's going to be, there's going to be competition at the end of the blue line. And I think that's not a bad thing.
I don't want to jinx it this early, but I'm feeling actually fairly good about our blue line right now with depth as well for coverage in case guys get hurt.
And we gave away Scandella, but I think that we still retained a lot of good talent on D, so we still have a good core of defensive players. Right. And if we can, you know, get some guys coming up from Iowa that are providing us good minutes up here with the Big Wild, I think that we'll be all set to go.
All right, next question from T. Hain, 88. I got his name right.
Yeah. Tom Hain.
Tom Hain. Would GMCF, that'd be General Manager Chuck Fletcher for those that are not in the know, ever entertain trading number 11, Zach Parise? And would GMCF ever have the gumption to ask number 11 to waive his no movement clause? I'm going to say no.
Well, would he ever have the gumption to have Parise try to waive his no movement clause? Who knows? As far as whether ever he would entertain a trade, he'd be a fool not to entertain a trade because that's what your job is as a general manager.
This is true.
You should be listening to every offer that's on the table.
My thoughts are with Parise's contract, he's going to retire here.
He's not going to go anywhere. However, it doesn't change the fact that Fletcher should listen to every offer that is brought to him, because what if it is, you know, the most crazy lopsided trade in the offer in the world?
Ovechkin for Parise?
Well, not anymore, but, yeah. you know, maybe, Tarasenko and, who else is with St. Louis? Parayko and Tarasenko for Parise. I would do that in a second. You'd be a fool not to entertain that offer. You'd be a fool at that point not to ask Parise to waive his no movement contract, no movement clause. Is it going to happen? Unlikely.
Probably not.
But you should at least be entertaining these conversations.
Sure. I don't know. Maybe he wants to go back down and play with the Yoke.
Well, and at a certain point, you know,
or even
go back to New Jersey. Maybe he wants, you know, maybe he really enjoyed his time there.
Yeah.
You're being short-sighted by not entertaining those offers. Whether anything will happen, I don't think so.
Never hurts to ask.
But you have to talk about that, you know?
Hey, Zach, New Jersey just offered me these guys for you. Would you be interested in going?
Well, you could... I mean, it's underhanded, but you could even say, hey, we're looking at playing you less we're willing to move you somewhere else so you'll get playing time.
That's never been done before.
Never been done before. But you could say that. And right. You go, hey, do you want first line minutes in Colorado, or do you want fourth line minutes here?
I'd take fourth line minutes here.
But, you know, if the deal
right now, I'd take fourth line minutes
here. If the deal is right, you know, that's a consideration sure. You have to take, you know?
All right. Next question comes in from Minnesota Frosty Boy, at MN Frosty Boy. Let's see here. 3ITB. Let me see here. Prior to the next pod, Minnesota Wild players on the rise or decline given the offseason moves?
I think as far as rise, I think Granny's going up. Me and Kenny were talking about this just the other day, and Granny looks like he's shed baby fat. I mean, he looks lean, mean.
He's going to be a dominating player this year.
Lean, mean finish machine?
Lean, mean finish machine. I'm going to go back to Olofsson because I was impressed by his little more physical play considering he's not like a big guy.
I think we're going to see Stalock. I think Stalock's on the up. I mean, we kind of talked about that before. But
I certainly hope that he'll be there and be a solid backup for us this year.
I don't see too many players that were up last year that are on the decline. With the possible exception of maybe Parisi, if he's not 100%, maybe not getting top line minutes and maybe playing second or third line until he's 100%.
I think it's very possible on this team. There's plenty of top line talent in my opinion. So, all right.
Let's get to the one we actually.
Next question from at Crease and Assist, Mr. Derek Felska. What would be the three in the box Ten Commandments?
All right. Number one.
Number one.
I am thy Lord Stanley. Thou shalt not have any other cups besides me.
Commandment number two. Thou shalt not take the name of Lord Stanley in vain.
Commandment number three. Remember the Sambuca to keep it holy.
Number four, honor thy Parisi and suitor.
Number five, thou shalt require an SOG counter.
We need them shots on goal, goddammit. Gotta get the shots on goals. Commandment number six, thou shalt not wear a Blackhawks jersey.
Number seven, thou shalt not handcuffeth.
And number eight, thou shalt not embellish.
Number nine, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's skaters.
And to go with number nine, number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goalies.
So there are 10 commandments.
There you have it. Three in the boxes.
10 commandments.
Praise the Lord.
Hockey.
Stanley.
Praise the Lord, Stanley.
So that's our preseason little jabber jabber, right?
Yeah. I mean, trying to get the kinks worked out. And
yeah. We don't have video, but, you know, well, you guys can suffer, I guess.
You don't want to see us anyway.
Not in this condition.
Yeah. We're all naked from the bottom down.
Don't go there.
We're just wearing, shirts.
And because you can't see us, we're actually out on a lake right now on a pontoon.
Yeah. It's shirts and socks, no bottoms.
We're all tops here.
We're all tops.
I think it's time to go.
Power tops. All right. Yeah, Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
Nostrakenius.
Just saying that.
Twitter, Instagram, Nostrakenius. Follow me. I got some photos up, you know, my stuff that I'm doing.
Humanga's big.
And Jive, what about you?
Yeah, you can find me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Angry Finn or on Instagram at The Angry Finn because some bastard has an.
So every time I tag you on both, he's getting tagged on them too. So I wonder
how. Well, he hasn't checked his Instagram in fucking 5 years. So
we should just. Can we report that and just steal that?
Name? Yeah, let's report him for, I don't know, whatever.
Taking your name.
Whatever. Yeah, being a jerk.
Squatting.
For not posting.
He's domain squatting.
Join the social media, dude.
He's domain squatting.
Yeah.
He's domain squatting Angry Finn.
Anyway, with that, thanks everyone for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inTheBox. If you got questions, send us those tweets, hashtag 3ITB. We'll probably read them unless we get 1,000 of them over the offseason. Otherwise, we'll probably read them and answer them. Listen to our podcast at our website, 3inTheBox.com, or through your favorite podcast player, whether that's iTunes or Google Play Music or whatever. Rate us on there because that's how people find
us. It's not iTunes anymore.
It's
it's Apple Music.
It's Apple Podcasts, I think.
Oh. I don't know.
Yeah.
It go to that place and the fruit place.
In the thing and do the...
Go to the fruit place, give us a good star. Yeah. Star or heart.
Still star rating.
Is it stars? Are you sure?
Might be. It might be fruits.
Oh, yeah?
Could be
yeah.
hearts.
Could be fruits.
It could be fruits. Give us a high fruit star thumbs up. A high five.
Are we playing Fruit Ninja here now or what?
Give us a high rating regardless of the icon of choice.
Yes.
And that includes Google. Or you can listen to us too on 3inTheBox.com because we don't discriminate like that.
Nope.
Nope.
Anyway, that's it. Thank you. Have a good night.